Our reading for October 13th is from Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest," although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again in this passage he said, "They shall not enter my rest." Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we left off in chapter 3, having talked about Jesus being greater than Moses, talking about this rest for the people of God. If you go back to chapter 3, verse 7, "Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Speaking of those that did not get to enter into the promised land. Then verse 12, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And so when we get into chapter 4, he's building upon that same thought, talking about those that did not enter the promised land. Yet now he's talking about a different kind of rest. He's talking about the true rest, the Sabbath rest for the people of God, which would be that home in heaven. And that's something that we truly do want to enter in. We don't want to turn our backs on it. We don't want to lose it in any way. So while the promise of entering his rest still stands, in other words, while it's still effective for us, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. So don't turn your back on it. Certainly don't go back to Judaism, because what you have is better. And he's going to keep bringing that idea back over and over again. Verse 2, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united with faith." So they didn't listen in such a way to really follow it because that faith was missing. Verse 3, "We who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.'" In other words, we who have believed and that's united with faith, we can enter that rest. Verse 4, talking about creation, "God rested on the seventh day from all his works." Then verse 5, "They shall not enter my rest." So understand too that when we're talking about us entering a rest, that means a time in which our works are done. And he makes that mention of God being done with his works, and that was referring to creation. But our works are to serve the true and living God until we're no longer on this earth and the day of judgment comes upon us. So verse 6, "Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience," they didn't have that necessary faith to bring them to that obedience. "Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.'" So David was much farther after the time of going into the promised land. So that's why he says, if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So this Sabbath rest was one that was still being spoken of under the Old Testament, but something that we have that would be a home in heaven, a home with God. So that's where we get to in verse 9. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. We'll be done. Our service will be complete on this earth. Now, when we get into heaven, we'll be praising God. We'll be in his presence. And that's not under the same classification. So verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. That is, being unfaithful to him, going astray. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We are judged based on that word. That's what is going to be the standard by which we get judged as faithful or unfaithful, based on whether we've followed it, and thus the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. Verse 13, no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There's nothing that escapes his sight. He sees everything. Nothing is beyond his understanding. Verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So again, we have this greater high priest that is superior to anything under the old law, anything under the time of Moses. And this is a great high priest that has passed through all of this. And he says, verse 15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he's truly sympathetic with us because he's faced these things. And when we confess our difficulties and our sins to him, he understands them because he faced those temptations. He did not sin, but he did face the temptations. Verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because we have this great high priest, and because he is sympathetic to us and has been tempted as we are yet without sin, then we can confidently draw near to his throne to receive mercy and find grace to help us in those times of need. A great avenue indeed. Chapter 5, we're going to get into talking about the high priesthood some more. So come back tomorrow as we look at Hebrews chapter 5. Thank you for listening, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.